Hello, my name is Shakti. I work with the SQL support team at Microsoft. In this video presentation, we are going to talk about virtual log files, commonly called as VLF, and why you need to manage them to get better performance out of SQL Server. So let's get into the agenda of this presentation. So we are going to look at what is virtual log file, that's VLF, why do we need virtual log file, how VLFs are created. We are going to look at a demo on this, and what happens when too many VLFs are created, and finally, how to avoid too many VLFs. So let's jump into the topic. So what is virtual log file? As we could see in this diagram, VLFs are logical segments within a transaction log file. VLFs are created by SQL Server itself when you create a transaction log file. So let's use the analogy of comparing transaction log to a train. If we assume this train as a transaction log file, then each compartment in this train is a VLF. These VLFs contain the log blocks which stores the transaction information flushed by the log writer of SQL Server. You might be aware that log writer flushes the log buffer, which is an in-memory structure holding the transactions. So, why do we need VLF? VLFs are created by SQL Server internally to make it easier to manage the transaction log and to control the reuse of internal space efficiently and effectively. Again, I'm going to use an analogy of partitioning our house into hall, kitchen, and drawing room, etc., which makes it easier for us to use the space efficiently. Similarly, VLF is the way SQL Server partitions the transaction log to control the use and reuse of space within a transaction log efficiently. So, how VLFs are created? When you create or alter a database and specify the size of transaction log file, that is the LDF, SQL Server internally creates VLFs according to the formula given below. So, if your log file size is between 1 MB and 64 MB, MB means megabytes. If your transaction log size is within these two ranges, the number of VLFs created by SQL Server will be 4. Similarly, if your transaction log size is between 64 MB and 1 GB, the number of VLFs created will be 8. And anything beyond 1 GB, you know, if your transaction log size specified is anything beyond 1 GB, the number of VLFs will be 16. We are going to do a demo in the next slide to look at these counts practically. My demo 1 will show you how many VLFs are created during the database creation. So I have this script ready, which has a create database statement, and I'm going to specify the initial size of the transaction log. So let's test the theory of specifying the LDF size less than 64 MB, and let's look at how many VLFs are created. So I'm going to run the create database statement, and if you look at my LDF size, I've specified 64 MB. Now I'm going to look at the number of VLFs created using a command called dbcc log info. The number of rows returned will be the number of VLFs created. So in our case, if you look at the number of rows, it is 4. So this is matching the theory that 4 VLFs will be created. So let me drop this database. And in the second statement, I'm creating the LDF with a size of 999 MB, which is to test the theory, if my LDF size is between 64 MB and 1 GB, I should get 8 VLFs. So I just ran this statement, and once this completes, if I list the number of VLFs using dbcc log info, I should get 8 rows. So here we go, we see that the number of VLFs created in this case is 8. So again, let me drop this database, and this time, this is the third script where I have specified that my transaction log size will be 2 GB. This is my initial size. This is to test the third formula, where if the LDF size specified is more than 1 GB, I should get 16 virtual log files. So again, once this statement completes, if I run the dbcc loginfo command, I'm going to get 16 rows, which means I have 16 virtual log files created. So let me go ahead and drop this database and switch to demo 2. Demo 2 is nothing but what happens when you specify the log file size using alter database command. Again, the expectation is we should get the number of VLFs created according to the size you specify in the alter database command. So I'm going to run the script which creates the database with 64 MB log file. So I see that I have 4 VLFs created. Now I'm going to run the alter database command and specify a size which will be between 64 MB and 1 GB. So once this statement completes, if I run dbcc loginfo, you see that we have 8 VLFs created. So I have furthermore scripts which simulate the expansion of log file between 64 MB and 1 GB and beyond 1 GB, and I'll share the scripts in the presentation blog, which you can try it yourself. Let's switch back to the presentation and continue with the next slide, where I'm going to talk about what happens if there are too many VLFs. Multiple features and operations within SQL Server will get affected if you don't manage the virtual log files. Let's look at some of the important ones here. First thing is recovery. So you might be aware that recovery runs during every database startup, and there are two types of recovery, namely crash recovery and media recovery. Crash recovery runs whenever SQL Server starts up, and on the other hand, media recovery happens when you attach or restore a database. I'm going to talk about the relationship between VLF and recovery in detail in the next slide. The second feature which will get affected if we have too many VLFs is the feature called replication. We all know that LogReader agent in replication is performing a scan, or it has to scan through the transaction log to construct the commands from the transactions which are marked for replication. If you have too many VLFs, then the performance of LogReader agent will get affected. The third feature which might get affected because of too many VLFs is the database mirroring, database snapshot, and checkdb features, which all run a recovery, and that scans through the huge number of VLFs, which might end up in a performance problem. Now, let's look at the relationship between recovery and VLFs. When we have too many VLFs, the very first phase of recovering a database, called discovery, where SQL Server scans through all the VLFs in a sequence before the actual recovery starts. Depending on the number of VLFs, this initial discovery phase can take several hours, even if there is no transaction in that log that need to be processed. To check whether you're running into this problem, look into your SQL Server error log for the recovery-related messages printed during startup. The first message you'll see for a database while in recovery would be something like this: the timestamp, followed by the SPID which is performing the recovery, and a message stating that starting up database and the database name. Once the discovery phase has completed, you will see the following message stating analysis of a database is going on. So if you look at the timestamp difference between starting up and analysis, in this example, there's approximately 9 minutes of time spent in the discovery phase. So this shows that there were too many VLFs and the discovery process or discovery phase has to scan through each one of them, and it took almost 9 minutes. We have recently released a fix in KB2455009, which improves the performance of this discovery phase in the recovery process, even if you have too many VLFs. I would recommend you to apply this hotfix in your SQL Server environment, but don't consider this as a fix, but just a workaround. Next, let's look at some of the reasons of why too many VLFs gets created. So normally, given below are the two reasons why you may get too many VLFs. Reason number one, not setting proper initial size for the LDF file. And the reason number two is improper autogrowth size. When it comes to setting initial size, you should always do a capacity planning. It's part of the capacity planning process, whereby you will have an estimate about how much the LDF will grow. This capacity planning can give this result, or when you're doing initial user acceptance testing, you'll be able to determine what should be your initial size of the LDF. So if this initial size is not set properly, or because of the second reason, that's not setting improper autogrowth size, you might get too many VLFs created in the database. Let's take an example to look at the reasons why we get too many VLFs. In this example, I'm assuming that the initial size for LDF is 10 MB and the autogrowth is set at 1 MB. So if I create a table with a char 8000 column, and if I start inserting the records, in my testing, it reveals that every 100 records creates at least 4 VLFs. So imagine if you keep inserting into this table for a week period or a month period, how many VLFs might get created. So that's reason we recommend that you set a proper initial size and a proper autogrowth size, so that every time the database grows and the log file grows, you'll get the corresponding number of VLFs created and you'll be able to maintain them properly. So let's look at the ways you can avoid too many VLFs. You might be wondering, what does the term too many VLF mean? In my perspective, I would consider that having more than 1,000 VLFs will be considered as a too many VLFs. So here are some best practices which you can follow to control the number of VLFs created in your SQL Server. The first best practice is to always pre-size your LDF files. There is a general recommendation among the community to grow your log files in terms of 8 GB. In my recommendation, this works well with most environments, but you should consider this value depending on your database size and your environment. The second best practice is to monitor your log file usage using the command dbcc SQL perf of log space, and if the log file space used is more than 80 to 90%, then grow the LDF file manually during non-production hours. This is because in this way you can control how many VLFs are created, because they're going to be calculated based on the autogrowth size you specify. Also, LDF files cannot leverage the instant file initiation API to expand the file. There are some security reasons because of which SQL Server will not expand the LDF file using instant file initiation. So SQL Server has to zero out the entire length of the log file which it's going to expand, and till then your transactions have to wait for the file zeroing to get completed. So always remember the thumb rule to keep your VLFs count less than 1,000. So I've given here some of the MSDN links and some of the blog posts which talk in detail about the relationship between recovery and why you need to manage the VLFs to get better performance. And that ends this video presentation. Thank you so much for watching this, and please feel free to post your comments, feedbacks, or questions in the comments section of this blog post. Thanks everyone. Have a wonderful day.